project, ministering to children, you know, what's the dividend, right? What's the payout? If you have photographic memory, you can remember our video this morning, which you probably won't, but that's fine. At the very end, when we had the four pictures coming up showing the different ministries, and we talked about training and mentoring nationals for leadership, that picture was of one of the young men in our church teaching children's church. And that young man is actually an intern in the Bible college where I teach, just on the other side of town. His name is Abiru Joseph. He was one of the first group of orphans in the Strode Orphan Assistance Project. And now he's in his senior year of Bible college and is preparing to go back to his village and start a church next year. So it does pay out. There are dividends. And there are, I mean, all along the way, there are rewards and dividends that we see God doing. But there's the goal is church planting from this ministry. And God's doing it. And it's exciting to see that. I'm thankful that your church is open to supporting a single lady, because some churches aren't. But as I think of ministering in Uganda, where half the population is under the age of 15, you know, I can minister to men by myself, but I shouldn't minister to ladies by myself. I can minister to young men by myself, but I'm not going to sit with a young lady. But a teacher can sit with a young man, with a young lady, and with older ladies. She can minister to 80% of the population by herself. And I only get 50%, unless Amy's with me, which I'm glad she is. But as a single guy versus a single lady, I'd take a single lady, because she can minister to so much more. So I'm thankful that your church is willing to consider that, because there's a great need and opportunity in Uganda. So excited that she's going back there. Well, I'm going to ask you to turn back to Acts with me this evening. This morning we're in Acts chapter 10. I want to just kind of give a summary of a few things in the book of Acts in the time that we have. Acts chapter 9, Paul was saved, and his testimony is in this book three times. But in Acts 9, Paul is saved and he goes back to Tarsus, Saul of Tarsus. In chapter 10, Peter and Cornelius come together. And as we studied this morning, we were challenged not to make the excuse when we consider missions of saying, well, Lord, not them. Like, I'll serve you, but not those people, not them. We shouldn't have that attitude. So that was chapter 10. Chapter 11, persecution comes in and scatters the Christians. Barnabas goes to Antioch, and while he's serving in the church in Antioch, he goes over to Tarsus, and he brings Paul back. And in later in this chapter, Barnabas and Saul, ministering in the church in Antioch, they raise an offering to send back to Jerusalem, where the Christians are being persecuted. And Saul and Barnabas are the ones trusted to carry that offering back to Jerusalem. Now, an international trip carrying money, you don't just choose anybody. You're going to choose people that are trustworthy, that are accountable, that you know they're going to accomplish the task that they've been given. Chapter 12, Barnabas and Saul return to Antioch from Jerusalem. And now let's look in Acts chapter 13. So just real quick summary of these five chapters coming into Acts chapter 13. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Five men listed. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So we see five men leading the church here in Antioch. They weren't all pastors. Pastors and teachers mentioned. But of these five men, the Holy Spirit says, I want 40% to go somewhere else. That's a pretty significant portion of your church leadership. 40% being sent out. They sent them away. Who's left? Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen. Now, we don't read much about them. But you know, it's not about us, is it? If we look on through the book of Acts, we see the church at Antioch continuing on. These men continued serving. They didn't get discouraged and say, God, why'd you take Barnabas and Saul? Well, we might as well close the doors. They continued ministering. And I wonder, though, when the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, I wonder if some of them were like Peter and saying, not so, Lord. But that's not what they did. Verse 3, They fasted, they prayed. They want to make sure they heard the Lord correctly. But then they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. I don't know about you, but we're trying to build our church. We're a church planting ministry and missionary. And we're trying to build our church, but there's that temptation of praying that God wouldn't send anybody from your church. Because you invest in them and now they're going to go. It's interesting for us as we've been now 6 years at Faith Baptist Church in Namagongo, we've had men that have come from other churches that have been saved and discipled, and now they come to the capital city for work and they join our church. One man in particular, he got saved listening to our Christian radio station. He lived about an hour's drive away from that, heard the gospel while he was still a student in the village, got saved. He said, my friends, they would look forward to the school holidays. They'd go back to watch TV. I wanted to go back and listen to Truth Radio because I wanted to grow. I didn't have a church in my village. So as he's listening to the radio, he realizes, I need to be baptized. So he gets on a taxi, pays the transport to go to Mbali, where the radio station is, gets on a motorcycle taxi and goes all over town. Do you know where this church is? No, maybe it's over here. Do you know where this church is? Gets there and meets Pastor John Busolo and says, I've been listening to the radio. I've been saved. I need to be baptized. Got baptized. Went back, finished school, got a job in Kampala, and came to our church because we're the nearest to him. And he is one of the most faithful men in our church. I mean, we have many faithful men, but he is one of them. And God is using him and working through him. We've inherited from other churches, but it's kind of neat because we were involved in the radio station. And now others that have come. But we've also had people in our church that we've discipled, and now they've moved on somewhere else. But now there's somebody in that village that knows the Word of God and can share the gospel with others. Even if there's not a church, they're being trained. So we want our church to grow, and we're investing in people, but they're not our people. They're God's people. And, you know, I've never seen a fruit tree that says, well, I'm not giving you my seeds. Right? We can look at other churches sometimes and say, well, Lord, send somebody from that big church. They have enough people. But the strength of the church is not in its seating capacity. The strength of the church is in its sending capacity. This church in Antioch simply obeyed God. They sent their best, their most trusted men out to preach to others who would never contribute back to the financial support of the Antioch church. Because it wasn't about that. It was about obeying the Holy Spirit, who said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. The church was willing to give its leaders for the sake of the gospel, to spread it to those that had never heard. Some churches are not even willing to give up their dollars to advance the gospel, but Antioch had already done that. Paul and Barnabas are the ones who carried the offering. So this morning we looked at challenging our minds that we don't make the excuse of saying not them, but we also need to be careful that we don't say not us. Yeah, Lord, send somebody from that church, but not us. No, Lord, send us. Send us. Use us. Because if we say not us, we're really saying no to God's supply. Because God promises to supply as He sends. How is it that she's going to survive in Uganda as a single lady missionary? I'll tell you a secret. It's not because of your financial support. God might use your financial support, but she's going to survive because of her Heavenly Father. And as God sends us and sends you wherever it may be, brother, you're going all over. Is God a good provider? Amen. God is the one who promises to provide for what He's called us to do. And so if we say no, not us, we are saying don't supply. How many of you use an umbrella when it rains? How many of you say it's pointless, right? You know, that's how it is sometimes. By the time you get it up and down, you're just as wet. No, but the thing about an umbrella is it only helps you when you're under the umbrella. And that's how I see God's direction. We're supposed to, what did Jesus say? Follow me, right? He's the one with the umbrella. And as we walk with Him, we're protected and we're provided for. But when we get out from the umbrella, it's not that He's failed to provide. It's not that He's failed to protect. What about the snakes over there, right? We had a 5 foot, at least 5 foot long ringneck spitting cobra in our compound. You know, it came down inside the 10 foot walls. We have dogs that bark, and so we went out and we dispensed with it. But, you know, there are threats, but they're not a problem for our God. And when we're under His umbrella, we have the protection. It's when we say no and God says, your umbrella is going to Uganda and you're not going with it. That's where we have problems. So let's not make the excuse of saying, Lord, not us. This church didn't send all of its leadership, but they did send 40%. And so what happens then when leaders go? It creates opportunity for others. You know, it might be that God sends someone out of this church, or that God has sent people from this church. They've moved away. That's giving opportunity maybe for some of you to stand up and say, I'll take part in this. Pastor, can I serve? Can I help? And as God raises up leaders in the church, He may send out more so that others can come up. That is God's plan for the local church to support, to provide for the global church. Are you willing to follow God serving here and as He leads you somewhere else? Let's not say not us, but as we continue in the book of Acts, if we look ahead just a few more chapters, we see Paul and Barnabas going to different cities and different countries. And I want us, just for time, to jump over to Acts 16. Acts 16. In verses 4 and 5, we just see a summary here in verses 4 and 5 of Acts 16. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. The apostles went through this city to this city to this city to this city. And wherever they went, churches were established in the faith and they increased in number daily. There is a temptation as Christians, as local churches, to say, God, I'm willing to serve you. I'm not prejudiced against them. God, I'm willing for you to use us. It's just, well, Brother Dan, you know, that what you're saying is great. It just won't work here. You know, that's fine some places, but you don't know Seneca Falls. You don't know, you know, this is New York after all. You know, you don't know the climate. You don't know the culture of what we're facing. You know, the gospel could spread and God could do work and missions can advance. It just doesn't work here. If Paul had had that attitude, Acts would be a very different book. But wherever he went, they went through the cities. They preached the gospel. They taught people. And churches were established. Not only established in the faith, they increased in number daily. What kind of church do you want to have? A church that's growing, a church that says, well, soul winning doesn't work here. You know those churches? I heard this phrase, and it really changed my perspective on church planting as a missionary pastor. Back in Genesis chapter 1, God was creating the world, and He tells us that He created this and this and this and this, and each one reproduced after His kind. And the principle was this: you produce what you are, not what you want to be. We can say we want to be a church that loves our community, that is globally minded. We want the gospel to go forth and we want God to send forth laborers into the harvest. But we produce what we are, not what we want to be. If we want that kind of church, we have to be that kind of church. We have to be willing to let God work through us and give through us and serve through us. As I study Scripture, it's my firm belief that God gives through churches that give to missions. And we're the result of that, and I say that with gratitude, but we're teaching our church to give to missions. Last year, over $2,000 in local currency our church gave, and we sent on for missions in East Africa. And it's exciting to see our church giving and trusting God in faith promise. Let's try something this evening, okay? You don't have to stand up. This is easy, all right? Take a deep breath. Now take another deep breath. Don't let it out. Yeah. Once you're full, can you take another deep breath? Once you eat lunch with Pastor Fenton, can you eat more? You know, not for a couple hours. Oh, my goodness. But if you take a deep breath, you have to let it out before you can breathe in again, right? If you have a cup that's full, and you want God to fill your cup, what do you have to do? You got to empty it first. Hey, God provides and He has given us truth, but God doesn't promise resupply until we've given out. When I teach in our Bible college, I try to use simple illustrations because that's what I understand, and it's universal. Not all of them have piped water, plumbing, but it is in their communities they understand the concept. And the thing about plumbing is, one of the great things about plumbing is the pipe doesn't consume what it's carrying. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, it could have a leak, I guess, but pipes don't consume water. Their purpose is to pass it on. But how does a pipe get fresh water? It has to give out what it already has. You cap a pipe. Have you ever opened a pipe that's been sealed for about a year? Do you want to drink the first few drops? It's brown, right? Or worse. The only way a pipe gets fresh water is when it gives out what it has. And the thing about pipes, if you've ever seen a community, and in front of our new church property, there's a 2.5-inch water main, which is pretty good for Uganda. But they kept adding on more communities and more neighbors. And at the end of the line, one of the men in our church works for the water company. They would have water 2 to 3 days a month because there wasn't enough going through that line up to that neighborhood. So they got a grant probably from a foreign government, and they put a new line in, a new water main, parallel to the 2.5-inch line. They put a 16-inch pipe through. Why did they need a bigger pipe? Because it was supplying more people. And as we serve more, God increases our ability to serve more. Antioch gave its leaders. First they gave an offering and they survived. The church didn't go bankrupt. Then they gave its leaders. And they continued even though they were persecuted. And what's great is you go through the book of Acts, several times Paul would come back and report to the church. I believe that's biblical. They should do that. But the church continued on. The church was still there, partnering with Paul, praying for Paul, but sending him back out again to preach the gospel. Philippians 4:19, we love that verse, don't we? My God shall supply all your need. But that promise is in the context of missions giving. God will meet our needs when it's what we need to do what we want. No, to do what He wants. How do I know God's going to provide her support? Because that's where God wants her. And He promises to provide what she needs to go and do the job. How did we know? We arrived in Uganda under-supported. About 80% of our recommended support. By the end of 1 year, we had 100% of our support. How? We weren't going to churches, but God was in the churches. And He promises to meet our needs. We can make the excuse, well, that will work there, but it won't work here. But it's just an excuse. That's what it is. God will meet our needs to do His will, and He's not willing that any should perish. So what kind of church do we want to be? We produce what we are, not what we wish. So tonight, I know our time is up, and I've kept you a bit late. But instead of saying, not us, could we say, Lord, choose us? Instead of saying, not here, why not here? Can we ask God to send us and to do it here? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your mercy, because that's the only reason any of us are qualified for service. You choose to use us by Your grace, and You equip us through Your Holy Spirit, and You have sanctified us through the righteousness of Jesus Christ to make us to where You can use us, because You choose to use us. But on top of that, You promise to supply what we need. We're good. We are so creative at making excuses. I pray that as we confront our fears, maybe, our stubbornness, our lusts of this world, that Your Holy Spirit and Your Word would convict us and remove them, so that we wouldn't have a prejudice to say not them, so that we wouldn't have a stubbornness to say not us, so that we would not have a fear to say not here, but a desire for you to use us, to send us, and to build your kingdom here in Seneca Falls so that it can go forth globally for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.
Let's stand. And we'll have an invitation. If you need to come tonight for anything at all, you can come.